You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening to the Cooligans in the first segment. I'm in New York, but Christian's all the way in Colorado, but we still hop on the phone and have a great episode for you. And in the first segment, we talk about so much. Oh my God, we talk about Miggy Almiron. We talk about Fabi Young in Philadelphia. We make fun of the Philly Taco. We talk about Fang, their fourth DP. Also, we talk a little bit about J.J. Watt getting taught a lesson by an NWSL player who's also his girlfriend. Son, you ain't got that skill to be on the field, my guy.
And in the second segment, yes, I am in Colorado. After some snowboarding, I'm a little exhausted, but we get to our interview with Ali Krieger, World Cup winner. Ali Krieger of the U.S. Women's National Team also plays for the Orlando Pride, and we have the best time with her. Ali Krieger is our favorite, and after this interview, she will be your favorite. So all this and more today on the
Cooligans!
Hey, this is Alexi Lalas. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby! Yeah!
Oh, welcome! ¿Qué tal? Hello, all the way from Colorado.
That's right. And I'm still in New York City, but we're both skiing everywhere we go and snowboarding because it's snowing out here too.
That's right. I didn't realize there was going to be a blizzard out there. I wouldn't have left.
Yeah, I know. What's the point? Yeah, you would have saved so much money.
Should have stayed right in Brooklyn. But no, yeah, I am here in Colorado calling in because this show doesn't stop.
Nah,
it doesn't matter if... it doesn't matter whose birthday it is. It doesn't matter whose anniversary it is. It doesn't matter if it's Valentine's Day, which are all the three things that my girlfriend expects a lot from me on these particular days. So,
let me tell you something.
Must go on.
I've called in from Ireland. You're calling in. You've called in from Dominican Republic. You think we're not going to have you call in from Denver? You know what I mean?
That's right. I'm currently in Vail, Colorado, which is like the swanky kind of resort town for all the skiers and snowboarders, which I just learned recently that Vail just recently allowed snowboarders because it was a skiing only mountain up until 8 years ago. So you imagine that 8 years ago there was still segregation out here in Vail,
discriminating against single a piece snow athletes. I don't know what else to call it.
Not cool, bro. Not cool. So I'm here being not only I'm breaking barriers, not just being a snowboarder, but also being a brown snowboarder up here. So
You know when you pass by the skiers and you take your helmet off and they see that you brown, they're like, I told you. I told you this is what would happen.
Letting a couple snowboarders in here, look what happened.
Right? I mean, yeah. I don't know. I look out, it's not as white as it used to be, is all I'm saying.
Okay, I got no problem with it. I'm just saying it is not as white. That's all.
Right. I mean, I've got no problem with it. We sold the timeshare 20 seconds ago. But I've got no problem with it. You guys enjoy your mountain. So I guess I gotta go back to Utah.
So welcome to the show, everybody.
Yeah, this is a soccer podcast, we swear.
Trust me, it's very much a soccer show. We have been, even like we said, the show does not stop. So we are the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Yeah, it is. And mine is Alexis Guerreros.
Together we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host a soccer podcast. And it is not only the funniest soccer podcast that you've ever listened to. It is also what, Alexis?
The damn gulliest soccer podcast of all time.
That's right. And if you look on our Instagram right now, you see me on top of Vail Mountain, on top of the mountain, rocking my gulliest shirt so that everybody out, even in the mountaintops, know how gully this podcast is. So make sure you look at that ASAP, because that was a an awesome moment. Nobody knew what the hell I was doing up there with that shirt. People are like, "Hey, put your coat on. It's very cold.
You're gonna die." And you're like, "Nah, son. Yeah, boy, gully don't feel cold, my guy."
All right, gully don't die. Nobody who's ever been gully has ever died.
Nobody, okay? No one's ever over gullied at all.
So
the moment you took your jacket off and that shirt appeared, property value dropped in Vail, Colorado.
They were like, "This has gone too far." I think they're filming a rap video up there. I think, I'm not sure.
You just can't trust them.
So this is a special episode, because today we will be playing our interview that we had with World Cup winner Ali Krieger.
Finally, right? I mean, the fans have been begging us for it. And it's like, what? You don't like it when we talk?
I mean, begging / kind of aggressively, forcefully making us do it. I think that's what it kind of felt like as well.
Oh, our hand was definitely, I forget what the cliche is here, but our arms were twisted into putting this out this week.
That's right. We were coerced but yes, it's long overdue. We still have several other interviews that we recorded at the United Soccer Coaches Convention that we will be playing for you guys. Today is Ali Krieger's day, because you've heard us talk about it before. Ali, this interview is one of the most fun interviews that we've ever had. So fun. Ali Krieger is one of the funniest human beings you're ever going to meet. And again, we're stand-up comedians. We hang out with comedians all the time. We know funny people.
It's really hard to make us laugh. It's really hard. And also, I think people have to understand, sort of the context of this interview is she was extremely busy. Ali was being, was doing, like appearances and talks, and she had her own academy and I think a booth set up where she was, maybe it was a sponsor's booth, but she had responsibilities to be other places besides being interviewed by two dummies. And we would not leave her representation alone. And every, even when they're like, "Well, maybe we'll have a chance tomorrow," I was like, "Right, maybe." I would not let it go until they felt almost bad and they just had to give us at least 10 minutes. And that's exactly what happened. We were supposed to have an interview at 1:00. It kept getting pushed back and pushed back the next day. And we kept thinking like, "Oh, they're just stalling. They're not actually going to let Ali do an interview." And then Ali was like, "Yo, I want to do," because we talked to her for like 5 minutes and she was like, "Yo, I want to do this interview. They're hilarious." And they were like, "You got 10 minutes," and that was it. And she sat with us for at least 20 because she was having so much fun. And I could remember the look on your face the moment, like her personality just came right through. And we were like, "Oh, this is actually going to be a fun interview. Like, she's not going to be stressed for time. She doesn't care." She like waved off her reps.
Yeah, we mentioned it before with when we went to, we did all the interviews with FC Dallas. What is common is like, so we'll speak to some like representative or a handler or whoever's working with that particular person that we're trying to talk to. And they'll give us that, he or she can talk to you for 5 minutes. And just so you know, and this is for anybody that works in maybe any media, because we're learning this as we sort of explore the soccer landscape. If somebody's saying that they have 5 minutes for you, that means that they truly probably don't want to talk to you because they don't know you and they expect it to be a terrible experience.
Yeah, they ain't got shit to do. They just are trying to give
totally
them
free.
Yeah, it's like when the you go to a job interview or maybe you go on a date, right? And you tell someone to call like 20 minutes and say you have an important meeting or there's a reason to leave. And then if you're having a good time, you go like, "Oh, you know what? Reschedule that meeting." Or, what? Call. Don't worry. Someone else has your apartment key. And it's like, click. I'm actually having a good time. That's what they do. They're like, "You only got 5 minutes." And then they kind of look at the person that they are responsible for and like, "Are you good? Do you need that 5 minute warning right now?"
Exactly. So that's what basically happened with Ali Krieger. And then after a couple of minutes, just all this laugh. I think that's usually the weirdest thing is that people. They'll, we were on Podcast Row right there at the convention center, And people were watching us, and they were just like, yo, why are they laughing so much?
Yeah,
like,
wait a minute. Who are these people having a good time?
This is a soccer convention. Enough of this. What's all this about?
This is about coaching and strategies. Stop enjoying yourself. And I think this is why. I think this is why some of the folks over at U.S. Soccer Coaches put their neck on the line for us and for Total Soccer Show and for some of the other folks that were on Podcast Row, because I think they realize that the convention is rather dry by in nature. You know, they're going over some, you know, they're going over, you know, statistical stuff and tactical stuff.
Yeah, the X's and O's of soccer are not super lively.
No, it's not meant to be, you know, people are having a good time, but it's not meant to be lively is a great term. And then we come in and we're like, what's this? Who cares? I don't know. Facts. You stuck. Who smells?
Smacking clipboards out of people's hands.
Hell yeah, son. I took a knife and I ripped open that big bag of balls and I kicked them all over the place. Now go pick up your balls, son. You know?
So
historically, it's been so funny to see the Adidas booth, because Adidas does a great booth. Shouts to DJ Step, shouts to all of our friends over at Adidas. And they have like hip hop music blaring and like video games being played. And it's like the most serious people walking by, like, lower that hippity hip hop.
That's why we're able to have a lot of fun. I think we're winning over hearts and minds. You know, the more and more that we get to like speak to, you know, these people high up in the soccer hierarchy, right? I think more and more people just get to know who we are, and they might, you know, maybe next time they'll say like, oh, instead of saying, you know, Ali has 5 minutes for you, they might say, she has 10 minutes. So that's like that's progress.
Ooh.
That's all we can hope for.
You doubled up on us. Very nice. And I will say this, if our handlers are listening, they were absolute sweethearts. They were very honest the entire time. I'm not going to lie. I even said it to them. I thought they were lying to us, you know, about getting the interview with Ali. And they turned out to be absolutely amazing. And for as much as they were like, yeah, like she really only did have 10 minutes, but we're not going to stop her from having a great conversation like they were having with you. Like, yeah, she's late for other stuff now, but
I think people listening should keep in mind that Alexis, this is how Alexis negotiates. You know, he tries to guilt people into things. He makes people feel bad. He tells them specifically that he does not trust them. This is it's so. This Newark skepticism that's like, yo, you're trying to get one over on me, but you won't keep that to yourself. You'll say that to the person regardless of who it is.
Because here's the truth. I feel like they're not trying to get one over on me, but if I make them feel as though I feel that way, they're going to feel so bad. They're going to literally do whatever I ask. So yeah, maybe I learned that in the mean streets of Newark. Okay.
Okay. Well, good move. It worked out. So, usually the way we start the show, we always show love to the people who show love to us. And we are so close to 400 reviews on iTunes.
Oh, we could smell 400.
400 is so, so close. So I want to read a review of someone who started listening recently based on the review. And it made me smile because it made me remember of a fun moment that we had on the show a couple months ago. So this is from Mochi Baby. And the subject says, lots of good laughs to be had. And I got a 5-star review. Thank you, Mochi Baby.
So, Mochi Baby.
I started listening to the Cooligans because they kept popping up on my Twitter timeline from people I follow. So I thought I'd give them a shot. The first one I listened to was the one after the MLS Cup final, and they were cracking me up with that bit about how the South American players point at their feet with both hands when a play is messed up in the final third compared to how English players, et cetera, and others respond to it.
Pero qué haces, boludo?
¿Qué haces, boludo?
Pero mira, my feet are right here.
I think that's the training. That's like soccer 101 in Argentina. Point at your feet when somebody messes up a play. I'll continue. It says, quote, I have loved their content since, and both Alexis and Christian have good radio voices. I know that's a weird thing to say, but if I'm going to spend hours listening to two dudes talk about soccer, I want them to have good voices. Very funny, and very glad I found the Cooligan. Thank you so much, Mochi Baby.
Mochi Baby.
I know you love the silkiness of our voices.
Sorry. Did somebody say something about our radio voices?
Okay. Yeah. You're going to listen to two dudes talking about soccer? Yeah. They better have some sexy ass voices. I agree with you.
Yeah, let me tell you something. We keep getting such amazing reviews, but I want to read this one. This is J3252, who I believe this is the dude that just got voted the president of 3252.
Okay.
Remember, cool. We met him at ISC.
Yes, that's right. Okay, I remember.
I think this is the dude. It's 5 stars. The subject is the great talk of the game, which is very like regal, you know, the great talk of the game. It sounds like it's going to be an epic book, doesn't it? This podcast surpassed so many expectations. I truly connected to these guys on the first episode I listened to. The fact that I can hear an informative and interesting pod about soccer while laughing like crazy just baffles me. I know. Isn't it crazy? J3252. Ain't it nutty?
Shout out. The LAFC. It's crazy. I know it's crazy. It's nobody's ever really tried it, I guess. Especially
No. I could if you want, I could point you to some podcasts that try it. Like best you could have hoped for in the past is people talking about soccer in a very sort of strategic way that also have great personalities and senses of humor. Total Soccer Show comes to mind. Even Extra Time Radio, some of those guys have great personalities and senses of humor, and they sort of, you know, riff with each other a little bit or rib on each other a little bit, but no one's ever, you know, sort of swapped that equation. You know what I mean? Like no one's ever said like, nah, son, we're going to go way more funny, and then you're going to be surprised we actually know some shit. You know what I mean?
Yes. We set the bar very low for like what soccer knowledge we have. But when it comes to comedy knowledge, we all good there.
Oh, buddy, we got them chops, bruh.
That's all we ever did for the last decade of our lives. So,
yeah, we've only ruined every relationship we've ever had so that we could bring you some jokes.
It's nice that we could put it to use, finally. So, all right. So thank you so much for reviews. Make sure you're on iTunes, on the Apple Podcast app. Leave a review. Takes a second. You can do it while you're listening to this. And help us get to 400. So,
yeah, and hey, if you already subscribed to the podcast, you could also go to Spotify and hit subscribe. It's or follow, I think is what they call it there. Like, you don't have to. It's not going to like alert you when a new podcast is up. It'll just be in your streams, you know. So it'd be really dope if you could do that, so we can get a couple more listeners on Spotify.
Yeah, that'd be dope. All right,
come on, couple over here, couple over there.
Bad for not following us on every single audio platform there is on the planet.
I mean, you could not do it, but then think about like how that would make others feel, including us too, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want to break our hearts. All right. So let's talk about a couple of things before we get to our interview with Ali Krieger. Of course, let's start with Philadelphia Union, because we don't show them enough love. I don't think Philadelphia Union loves itself enough to show itself love. But finally, they have made a move.
Fang has sunk their teeth into the transfer market.
Fang, I think, is leading. I think Fang is the new GM because Fang is making the move. This is nice to see. Not only did the Philadelphia Union get a good player, but they also, like, they signed a designated player, which is, I believe, going into this season, they're finally going to have all three designated player spots filled, which they have not done before. So, but Marco Fabian, Mexican national team, coming over from Eintracht Frankfurt, going to the Philadelphia Union. So now, this in itself is exciting because of where Philadelphia usually is when it comes to either missing the playoffs, getting close to the playoffs, or losing in the first round. This is something that can at least excite fans. Like I honestly feel that if the Philadelphia Union would have beaten NYCFC in that knockout game, they probably don't make this move. You know what I mean? I think their fans would have felt like, oh, well, we got farther in the playoffs. Our fans are good. We don't need to really do anything to sort of excite them. But I think there was a real sense of pressure this time around that season ticket holders were going to be like, I'm done. I'm done with this team. And now this move in itself at least saved some season ticket holders for the Philadelphia Union.
I think you're right. I think if there was sort of they would feel as though they look how far we got with the players we had. We got pretty far in the playoffs. It appeases the fans. There was no excuses after, it was like tumultuous, but I think Chicago Fire sets a new standard for tumultuousness, you know, sort of with their fans. Like this is Philadelphia Union is a story of an incredible fan base. You know, it was one of the teams where Sons of Ben were so wanting a team that they sort of had to get a team. And it was like the supporters came out and made the city get a team and made MLS give Philadelphia a team. You look at that to where they are, you know, last year or where they were at the beginning of last year, where it was just so everyone was so down and people were like, let's just get players. And they were only buying players with TAM. They didn't want to spend any of their own money. This has all completely changed. Now, Mark, you know, Fabian, right? Like, is he the player that's going to take it to the next step? I've said in the past, players like Rooney, they can't do it. They're too slow. They're too old. And I've been completely wrong. So I don't know. I mean, every Philadelphia Union fan right now is like, Alexis, please don't say he's going to be good because then that means he's going to be bad, right? Like, I'm the jinx. And I get that. To some degree, I absolutely get that. But here's my thing. Often injured in the past, you know, injuries has derailed his career. He was supposed to be sort of that. He was like sort of post like the golden generation, the most recent golden generation for Mexico, but he's a little too old for this new one that's coming up with guys like Diego Lanez and all that. Like,
yeah,
he's sort of this in between and he's sort of on his own, right? If he can come in and just be, you know, that midfield presence that Philadelphia needs, someone to give Akam the damn ball. That's it. You got Akam for a reason. That dude's a speedy winger. I don't understand why Chicago sold him to begin with when you had a system that worked, right? And now you bring him to Philadelphia and he doesn't have, you know, the pieces to give him the service. And now this Fabian dude might just be that. If he just does that, your Philadelphia is a scary team.
Yeah, the thing is, Philadelphia is not a bad team. You know, there's definitely, we know what a bad team looks like in MLS, and Philadelphia is not that.
Yeah, but are they a good team, though?
They're not. It's like the especially in the Eastern Conference, and when you compare them to the other teams that made it to the playoffs, right? Atlanta, NYCFC, Red Bulls, Columbus, who else am I missing one other outside of them. I forgot who else. DC United.
So
when you compare them against those five, they're clearly the sixth best team. I mean that's clear, and we saw it in the playoffs. So they're underachieving. They're an underachieving team.
But they also have the skill, and they showed it last year. They have the skill that if they play together, they can do great things. Right? They were on the brink of beating NYCFC. I mean, I know that the scoreline doesn't show, but like, you know, as someone who was, you know, prepared for that game as a fan, I wouldn't say I walked in with the most confidence, right? You know, Philadelphia had some really big wins throughout the season that you were like, what is going on? You know, what team is this? Like, which one's showing up? And they still got guys like Fafa Picault and guys like that, that if given, you know, if they were put in the right position, sort of that, Lucho Acosta, you know, thing, like if you put the pieces around them that they need for their skill to show, they'll be a better team. Is Fabian that guy? I don't know. But, you know, the one thing is, very simply, there's some excitement around the Philadelphia Union, which there hasn't been in a long time.
Yeah, but
their biggest signing before this was Fang.
Sure. And he wasn't even signed. He just came out of an egg. That was a weird way to do it.
Well, they signed the egg, you know?
They were, like, hoping that it grew into a great soccer player, and they got Fang. So it all worked out, right? So I'm just genuinely excited that they're going to have three designated players and three players, Bedoya, Bartoszkow, and Fabian. That in itself, just hearing those three names, you're like, all right, maybe they can add a little bit more excitement to this team. And obviously, I don't know if Akam's going to stay because he had that 1 year contract. So I don't know if they have enough money for him. But still, you know, you hear the kind of, you know, the way they play is they play an exciting game. And I think they just need a little bit help up front. And I think Fabian offers that. So best of luck, Philadelphia Union. Best of luck. A shout out to Mike Thomas, Belly Squad member, always an OG Philadelphia Union fan. And I know he's happy because he was mentioning how he bought season tickets. Again, he renewed his season tickets, and he was very close to leaving. So you want him back, Philly. So hopefully you can get him back another year. So we'll see how that goes.
There you go. And now we got to go down and hang out with Fang and try this stupid Philadelphia taco.
Well, don't judge it before you even have it.
Bro, it's a cheesesteak wrapped in a slice. You know that, right?
All I'm saying is that I trust Fang, all right?
Bro, it is an entire Philadelphia cheesesteak sandwich with a giant slice of pizza underneath it.
All right. I mean, I don't know, you know, those every town has their own delicacies. I'm not going to sit here and be critical before I try.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to speak ill of their cuisine.
Okay, I wouldn't want to offend the high society people of Philadelphia. So I'm gonna wait till I try. So, all right. So let's talk about next up. Let's talk about Miguel Almirón.
Wow, made his debut.
Made his debut in England for Newcastle. Obviously, big move out of MLS. Big move for the Premier League. Big move for Newcastle, their most expensive signing, a player out of Major League Soccer. Says a lot. Obviously, a lot of eyes on the young man. Also, I don't know if you know heard about this. Miguel Almirón's Instagram got hacked just a couple days ago.
Uh-oh.
So the haters are out in full force, okay?
Did they post something?
These are Sunderland fans that are trying to mess things up.
Maybe some Middlesbrough fans, you know?
Okay, but you guys need to cut it out, because that dude posts a lot of pictures of his abs on his social media, and we wouldn't want that being disrupted in any way.
No, you better not take my favorite content off the internet, my guy.
So, Miguel Almirón comes into the game somewhere around the 70th minute, give or take, against the Wolverhampton Wolves of the Premier League. This game ends 1-1, but nobody cares about anybody else besides Miguel Almirón. I love there's a bunch of threads and just responses of like what people thought about Miguel Almirón. And my favorite one was somebody asked like, what was your thoughts on Miguel Almirón? And somebody posted the Forrest Gump gif of him just running off of the farm and then just running down the road.
Yeah.
Because
he did run the entire time.
Miguel Almirón. And this is what I was happy to see, because we knew he was fast in Major League Soccer. And right. And we saw him in person. And even when you see him in person, you're like, yo, this dude is so much faster than these Major League Soccer. I don't know. What are they, like accountants that they put out there to play against this Paraguayan international? Because that's some.
Even when he walks by you, like when we were doing all that media stuff and he was walking by us, we'd be like, hey, slow down.
Dude, he's taking some large steps. Tone it down. So, but Miguel Almirón is arguably watching him in those, 20, 25 minutes that he played. He might've been the fastest player on the pitch.
He also, he changes the pace of the game. And I do have to correct you on something. It's Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, so God forbid, right? I mean, we start getting emails from all the burner accounts Daryl has because that's his favorite team. But
that's right. Wolves is the nickname. I keep forgetting.
Yeah, Wolves is the nickname. But so, and it's also their logo. I mean, it's not confusing at all. But, the one thing I noticed about him is that whole trope about like American players that they're super fast. Like, yeah, he came from an American league, right? But he's not American. So you bring him in, he's super fast. But here's the thing, he still had control. He still was finding the right pass. It's clearly a different level of speed that he was facing versus, you know, Premier League competition versus MLS competition, right? And I think the one play that sort of signifies that is when he sort of refines possession of the ball inside the box, and he's kind of not really 100% sure what to do with it. And as he's sort of deciding what he's going to do, he's immediately surrounded by Wolverhampton players. And it's, I think in that moment, you know what I mean? Like, if he was a bit more game ready and it wasn't preseason, people forget, like, yeah, Premier League is already halfway through the season. Dog, this dude is in preseason form. Okay.
Yeah.
He was on vacation 3 weeks ago. So, you know, give this dude a little bit of time. But that's the one thing where I'm like, all right, now he knows the speed, and that's Wolves. You know what I mean? That's Wolverhampton. Like, wait till it's City. You know what I mean? Wait till it's United. Wait till it's Arsenal, if they could ever get their shit together. You know what I mean? Like, that speed's only going to increase. I think he's got it. I think he'll be fine. And I think he also surprised some of the other players in the midfield. They were like, how the hell did he get that ball to me? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I watching the game, I felt a little bit like the expectation wasn't insanely high, because I think there's that, oh, he's coming from MLS, but I can't wait to see him for 90 minutes, because again, this just raises my belief that Major League Soccer is becoming a much more quality league, in that a player, yes, he came from South America, but played here for 2 years and didn't miss a step. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it built his confidence even more to go to Newcastle and play there and play well, because he, weirdly enough, I don't want to go this far, but like in those, for the 20 minutes that he was on the pitch, I thought he was the best player on the pitch.
I completely agree. He was noticeably a standout. You get what I'm saying? Like, he didn't stand out for the bad reasons. It's not like, you know, when DeAndre Yedlin gets in a highlight, we're all like, ooh, look at us. You know what I mean? Like, he clearly should have had a camera following him the entire time while he was on that field, while he was on that pitch. He was clearly, like, maybe he wasn't the best player, but maybe that's arguable, right? But clearly he stood out enough where I'm like, yo, this dude is shining right now. You know what I mean? And this was the next step. This is what we talked about, right? Like, we were saying, like, yo, he gets sold for big money. All right, that's a big move. Yo, it's a record-breaking deal for Newcastle. All right, that's a big move. But, like, he can't fuck that up now. You know what I mean? Like, he's got to go in there and he's got to play well, and he's got to shine. And if he does that, people are going to be like, yo, he's Paraguayan, he's not American. That's fine. He took 2 years, like you said, and came here, and it didn't put him back a step. It didn't stop his momentum. It didn't stop his progression. If anything, he developed further here. Okay. So that's a big deal for MLS. Huge.
Yeah. He looked great. I'm excited to, cause I also thought, like, oh, you know, he is coming in the game, late, you know, super sub kind of a role. But him being in that, like, people who haven't seen him in MLS, like, he's that fast regardless of where, what time of the, you know, during the match it is. So he just really, really stood out and looked poised and comfortable. And the fact that you mentioned, like, him being in preseason form and still looking as good as he did, I think Rafa Benitez is going to have a good time at least prepping games going forward. Because there's somebody in the midfield that he can, I think, truly, truly count on. So I was excited. So, but the game ended weird, right? They were up 1, Newcastle was up 1-0. They're gonna have trouble scoring because it's Newcastle, right? But the goal that they gave up for against Wolves was just absurd. And this brought up another question and a lot of issues with poor goalkeeping, right? Was it poor goalkeeping, or was it a foul by Boli, who put his arms over the keeper after a really, really high cross? I mean, it felt it was similar to the Jordan Pickford. Not sure, it didn't hit the post, but you know what I mean. Like, it was just like, you know, it was like a Hail Mary. That's basically what we could say. It was like a Hail Mary, and Boli got on it, headed the ball in, it hit the keeper. And ended up going in, but it clearly looked like a foul to me. But so the issue that this brought up is that when there's poor goalkeeping in the Premier League, people, especially in a moment like that, right? Because it was, the game was 1-0. That goal happened in the 94th minute, almost 95th minute. And a goalkeeping error, some would say. But when things like that happen in the Prem, people are like, whoa, what a crazy league. You can't, who knows what's going to happen next, right? A lot of people were making this point. But everyone's like, this is just, this league, beautiful. You never know what to expect week after week.
Look at that, right? But, you always got to be on your toes.
But any other league, especially MLS, goalkeeper makes a mistake, has some error. Look at this trash league. Look at this. The quality, the standard's too low.
What do they say? They'll say things like, the tweet is just the state of this. Ugh, condescending.
Unbelievable. And there's so many. I would honestly say, when it comes to unpredictability in any league, I feel like the Premier League is the least of that. You know what I mean? It's the most predictable league when as far as results.
100%. What is it? Unless you're talking about like just it's two different teams that are battling. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe three.
But generally, the top 10 teams, most of the time, are probably going to win that game, right?
It's yeah.
Not that when if you want unpredictability, MLS has all that for you.
In fact, it's so predictable. It's so predictable that if that top 10 team doesn't win, typically the manager gets fired because it was that much of a shock. It's not like, oh, well, you know, I mean, there's a lot of good teams. No, no. They're like, how could you have lost to that scrub ass team? You fired.
Yeah. At least MLS has, you know, when it comes to who's going to win, you don't know if the number one team is going to win either. They might win the game. They might lose the game. They might also lose by 5-6 goals, right? That's how against anybody. So at least there is a little bit of parity to that is conducive to results not being as predictable.
Right.
You can complain about the quality as much as you want, but when it comes to things being predictable, you cannot praise the Premier League for that because that is not even close. You can't praise them for being unpredictable because it's not even close to that. So
an American, I mean, well, a former player in MLS is out there looking good. That's a good sign.
Exactly. So the a couple other things. Speaking of Atlanta United, Chris McCann.
Hold on. Actually, before you get to that, you were talking about goalkeeping. You know J.J. Watt, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you hear what he said?
About goalkeeping?
No, yeah. I don't. Yeah. He thought, this is what he thought. He seriously thought that at the end of his football career, his NFL career, he would intensely train for 1 year and he would be able to be an MLS goalkeeper or a Premier League goalkeeper.
Okay. So J.J. Watt of the Houston Texans,
yes.
The defensive lineman.
The guy, monster of a human being. He seriously thought.
Who is built like the Airbnb I am staying at.
Yes.
J.J. Watt thinks that he can be a goalkeeper in any – could he be a goalkeeper in a Sunday league? Because the dude, I don't know if he can raise his arms up over his head. He is gigantic.
We will say this. Let's start by saying this. One, J.J., you're welcome to play on Cooligans FC only because they don't play with full-size goals and your shoulder width is about the size of the span of the goal anyway.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, you just be a large man just in front of goal. I don't think anybody will get past you. They'll be intimidated to even take a shot because you're just a scary. He got scary pecs on that. He's a big guy.
But tell you this, though. Thank you to NWSL player and his girlfriend. Her name is, I believe it's pronounced Kialia. Kialia Ohei or Ohai. That's his, she plays for the Houston Dash. That's his girlfriend. And she was like, oh, for real? Oh, you think you could be a goalkeeper? Yo, she took him out to a soccer field. And my man is like, yo, I'm never trying that again.
That's hilarious. You know what? That is one of those. You know how like in comedy, you know when somebody dates a comedian. I've heard this multiple times, where like a lot of people get into comedy because they started dating a comedian, and then they'll be like, "Eh, I could do that." And then they just start doing comedy.
There's a very
such a terrible.
There's a very famous comedian who lives in your neighborhood, who had a baby recently, and the ex-boyfriend of that woman, I guess, was still very jealous and saw his set and was like, "Oh, I could do that." And that's the thing about this comedian we're talking about. He makes it look effortless. It's part of his genius, you know, but he saw that, the ex-boyfriend saw that, was like, "I could do comedy," and started doing like comedy shows in Staten Island and open mics. And within weeks was like, "Yeah, I'm never trying that again."
All right.
Let me just read you this passage of what J.J. Watt said, because this is hilarious. She put it not even on the penalty spot, the 18-yard line, which whatever. He's a football player. He gets in the head a lot. I'm not going to correct him, which is like the big box far away. But so I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop this. No problem. She smoked the ball past my face so effing fast, so fucking fast. I mean, I can say that here. No chance. You could give me 5 years training. No chance. It's insane how fast and hard she can kick the ball. And I can only imagine, obviously, what Ronaldo would do flying one past my face.
Yeah, it's a dangerous, especially goalkeeping. This is almost a difference if he was like, "I could be a starting midfielder or a center back." I mean, where it's just like, still crazy, but a goalkeeper, you have to figure out that you have something different in your brain by like 8 years old, that you're like more psychotic than your other classmates. You know, that you're like,
it's 100% true.
Yeah, I can take you don't just wake up in your 20s one day and be like, "You know, I'm going to get into people rifling, you know, 50, 60 mile per hour shots towards my body with and really no protection whatsoever. Just
gloves,
a pair of mittens, basically.
Goddamn gloves."
Okay. So no, it's ridiculous from JJ. Well, I'm glad he learned his lesson.
I'll tell you this much. I remember when you and I did that that interview with RJ Allen down at the Kids Academy, Sportica, yeah. Down Sportica, in Jersey. Yeah. And there, one of the British trainers was there, one of the academy trainers, and he was trying to explain to this girl, like sort of in this netted area, like how to kick the ball with force. And he was like, "Yeah, you got to stand this way." And she was like, "Well, you show me." And he might have been a good 30 yards from the padded wall. And the ball he hit that wall with such a thud and force. That dude, sounds, claps, loud bangs behind me don't make me flinch at all. I hid behind Christian Polanco.
Yeah, it was.
It was the scariest thud I've ever heard. It sounded like someone drove a Kia Sportage into a wall.
Yeah. So
imagine stopping that with mittens.
It's not for the faint of heart. I've tried goalkeeping a couple of times, maybe like three times, and I don't know. It's just genuinely a scary thing if you don't have it in your heart to like dive in to stop a shot, but you know, like our buddy Kevin Hall, another comedian who plays on Cooligans FC, his leg got like shattered. I mean, not he got a fracture from a guy. He was making a play on goal. He had every right to go get the ball. Kevin slides to kick the ball away, which is a good move. And you have to be kind of a crazy person, right, to risk your body in that way. But the guy, he clears the ball, but the guy swung through and kicked him right on the shin, right on the shin guard. Fractured his shin.
It's so ridiculous. I mean, this is why, you know, Mike Maggett's hand was swollen to the size of his head.
Because it's not, these aren't normal people we're talking about, right?
No, they can't. You can't be normal and be a goalkeeper.
Yeah. And there's a difference between, J.J. Watt is a lineman, a defensive lineman. So he's not necessarily taking hits. He's like giving them. So it's a little different than if he was like an offensive lineman, you can kind of see it, right? Because the mindset is kind of there. You have to take on these 200, 300 pound dudes coming at you. You're like, I'm crazy enough. I believe I can stop this person. But the one on the other end of that doesn't have the mental strength, I think, of like the offensive lineman or the goalkeeper, which I think are more in line together.
So, no. It would be like him becoming a quarterback and not being able to move his feet while J.J. Watt is coming at you. That's being a goalkeeper.
Exactly.
Shouts to Ohio or Ohay. I don't know how to pronounce your name. Shouts to you for taking your man out there and being like, hey, yo, fam, let me show you what type of skill we got in the NWSL right now.
she was like, let me show you how it's done. Go back in the kitchen, JJ. Why you don't belong out here.
Yeah, you know what, JJ? Go make me a sandwich. Get out of this goalkeeper right now.
All right. So, a couple other things before we get to our interview. Just one thing I wanted to mention. There's a player that plays for the Oklahoma Energy. He is, I believe he's a midfielder there or a striker. I don't remember exactly, but his name is Joshua Garcia. And the reason we're bringing him
it's
up.
It's Joshua Dike Garcia.
Joshua Yatusabe Garcia.
Joshua Dimelo Garcia.
Joshua, he plays, plays for Oklahoma in, are they in USL Championship? I'll double check that. But he just recently got called up to the Dominican national team because he's Dominican. Now, he's not just a guy. He is of Dominican descent. And the Oklahoma Energy made a promo video about him and him getting called up to the national team. Could I be any prouder? I was basically crying.
It's almost like you got called up.
He looks exactly like me.
So he does. He really does.
I'll be playing there.
Also, he had no idea they were even looking at him. So, yo, dead ass Christian, you got a shot.
They might be listening to this, all right?
They might be out at Pier 5 on right Brooklyn Bridge Park watching them Cooligans FC right there on the phone with soccer shape trying to figure out what your current training is like.
Yeah, they'll be like, yo, I saw him do a merengue celebration. I think this guy might fit on the Dominican national team. I might have to call him.
What was that thing? The Hira, right? What's that thing? The instrument you had in your car?
Oh, La Guira.
La Guira. I can't remember the name. That you have one of those out there? They're like, this guy's definitely he's on the national team just because.
Okay, for the celebrations alone, we need him. Okay.
Yo, deadass, we should all be tweeting at the Dominican national team to just get Christian a tryout, just to walk out. You know, don't they have a camp cupcake he can walk in? A camp plátano that he can walk in?
All right, camp keep it.
Yeah, they don't have a camp tres leche that my man can walk in on?
That would be dope, all right?
Honestly, I really think we could do this. I really think if we all tweet at the Dominican national team, we can get my dude to get a trial. Just a trial. Clearly, we know those players are better than Christian, but let my man try.
Okay. I mean, it won't hurt anybody.
Besides you, because you're going to get hurt.
It'll be rough. Camp Dominican cake. Well, that could be it, right?
There you go.
So, but yes. So what I liked about his video was that he mentioned how there's other Dominican players that don't play for the Dominican national team because they have dual citizenship. And we know who he's talking about. Talk about Mariano out in Real Madrid and talking about Junior Firpo out in Real Betis. And a lot of these guys, they're Dominican, and they're like, hey, if I have to pick between the two, the Spanish national team or the Dominican national team, you know, obviously most people will probably pick the Spanish national team.
I think
team.
Some would, yeah. Let's see, has the Spanish national team ever lost to Cuba?
Exactly. Yes, we have to. Oh, that's going to be a blemish on the Dominican national team's record for a long time. But He said it, right? He called them out. He was just like, hey, there's people that don't want to play for the Dominican national team and they have the option to. So he's like, yo, I'm going to show love where from, you know, my home country. And so that in itself is like a little uplifting because, of course, we want to see the Dominican national team in the Gold Cup playing this summer. So he mentioned those games that are coming up. They're going to be happening in March. The next game is absolutely crucial. I think the Dominican Republic is in they're in ninth or 10th place. So only the top 10 make it into the Gold Cup. Cuba sitting in second after that ridiculous loss on that damn cow patch that were playing on.
You should be so lucky.
So we're excited to see that. So, I mean, the hope is hopefully we can get Joshua on the show. Josh Garcia would be, repping DR. Maybe talk to him about how it goes out there in DR and everything like that. Like that's my dream. So that'll be the quest going forward.
Maybe we could ask him to put in a good word. You know what I mean?
Okay, all right. Yeah. I'll give you my resume.
You kidding me? Camp Morir Soñando. Come on.
So, all right. So should we get to our interview? I think we should.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm excited for this. This is finally, right? You know how many people have fast-forwarded, you know, and has skipped all this amazing conversation about NWSL players, and I'm saying that now so you feel guilty and go back. The kid is still in effect. This is like a really big shining moment for us that we finally got to talk to. This was really close to the top. I mean, like second place of dream gets for us, especially for me. This is my favorite, female soccer player. This is one of my top favorite soccer players. Just someone who's just like, nah, not taking it. As far as female soccer players are concerned, she defines gully. Okay. For us. And you know, I know the 23 player roster was released for the, She Believes and she's not on it, which is a real, real stupid. I mean, come on. She's got two more caps to get to 100. Let Ellie Krieger get there. Ladies and gentlemen, after this message, we will come back with our interview with the one, the only, Ellie Krieger. Yeah, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Cooligans. But right before we continue to our interview with Ellie Krieger, we have a word from one of our sponsors. We're going to be in Rhode Island in not too long.
That's right. Friday, March 29th, we're going to be emceeing a fundraiser for Project Goal.
Which is a great foundation.
A great foundation that is involved with teaching kids about how to play soccer, opportunity to play soccer for free. And also there's like a mentoring and tutoring programs that they offer for a lot of underprivileged kids in the area. So we're excited to be a part of it because, we grew up as broke ass kids, couldn't do anything, especially playing soccer seemed like a insane opportunity for us, but they're doing good work at to help kids play the game, learn about the game, and also do well in school.
Yeah, it's going to be it's going to be a fundraiser. We're going to be emceeing the entire night. It's going to be absolutely awesome. There's not going to be any kids there. It's going to be very, very, it's going to be R-rated, okay? At least PG-13, yeah. At least.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun, man. They're going to have just a bunch of people. And listen, this is in Providence, Rhode Island. It's going to be at the Rhode Island Country Club, which we asked some of the folks who were there at ISC that were fans of New England Revolution. I said, hey, where is this in conjunction to you guys? And he's like, yo, that's like 20 minutes away from where Gillette is. A lot of fans live around there. So if you're listening to this, if you're a fan of New England Revolution, there's going to be some really, really big names from New England Revolution past that you are probably going to want to come to this. So you might want to buy a ticket. This is going to be a really dope event. We're going to be there. We're going to be doing the VIP talk beforehand. So buy those VIP tickets. You get a chance to sort of hear us talk one-on-one with some really big stars. Some folks that got New England Revolution to as far as they've ever been. I'll just say that. Go to projectgoal.org. Projectgoal.org. Buy those tickets. Buy the VIP passes. Come hang out with Cooligans and a bunch of people with worse accents.
That's right. It's open to the public. March 29th. We'll see you there.
Yeah, baby, we're back.
Okay. All right. So, look, this is This is our third day at the United Soccer Coaches Convention.
Right.
My lucky voice you guys. Is lucky gone. You guys.
Okay. You still
you
have
can't
a great
even
voice.
Speak. Yeah. It's like.
So, and now, so a lot of people have come through here. I'll be honest, though.
I'm probably the most fun, though.
Most fun. Far. We haven't had any World Cup winners come through this desk. And so,
you're welcome.
You are our biggest get. We were like, this is who we want to speak to.
This was is why McNally. You came. You were like...
And then you came and did the podcast next to us, and I was like, what if I kick over all their equipment? And they can't do it.
Okay. This is, it hurt our feelings too much. Yeah. So
okay,
close,
I'm here. I'm
so
here,
close
I'm
yet
here.
So far. Yeah. But no, we are here. We are very excited. Do you want to introduce our guest, Alexis?
I mean, yeah, we didn't even say who it is. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving. And if you are, pull over, take the key out of the car so your hands are free, and put them together for the one, the only, the World Cup winning. My favorite female soccer player in the world, Allie Krieger, everybody.
That.
100%.
Okay,
no.
Thank you.
No, absolutely.
Thank
baller.
You guys so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you. Yeah.
Get a few good laughs in this atmosphere is much needed.
Yeah, because there's nothing more fun and levity filled than a soccer coaches convention. Hey, what do old white guys have to say about this? Let's find out here at the soccer convention.
So
I shouldn't laugh at that.
You didn't laugh. We'll edit that out.
So what has your experience like? I know, I'm sure you've been to several of these.
This is my first and probably last.
Okay. Oh, really? All right. Hopefully,
excitement it the is. Roller coaster that is the
no I'm just kidding
17
it's actually
different...
been really fun. I'm running into a bunch of people who I haven't seen in a long time, and you know, the good old catch up, chit chatting, and seeing some good products that I really don't get to see all in one place. So it's actually been really nice.
And what were you here pitching something or working? You're working with someone
in particular.
Something.
You're promoting something.
I'm promoting my Allie Krieger football camps and clinics. So I travel around the country. I feel like I want to impact more kids than just at my games, and just taking a picture writing an autograph. I think I can travel around and really impact kids in a more beneficial way. And not everyone can bring their kids to the games.
We're
not all accessible. We're not in every single city. So I feel like I really see a vision and want to help the developmental process and you know, try and build confidence in young athletes. And we do all genders and ages, and it's really inclusive. And so that's my plan. I'm here.
I mean, are these like camps that go on for a long period of time, or just while you're in town? These are short.
Yeah, these are short camps. So it's about 3 hours. And I do separate age groups. So I do 7 to 13 year olds and then 14 to 18 because they're in a different part of their game.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that, you know, we keep them separate and, you know, have fun and get comfortable on the ball with the young ones. And then the older ones, I do a little bit of a transition game. So I cater it to that subject. Yeah.
And that age group in particular, right? Because when we talk about American soccer and comparing it to other countries, right? That 14 to 18 is where it seems like the jump happens in other countries. What in particular are you looking at in that age group where like, all right, this is how we can keep up?
I think it's about a transition game in that moment. I don't know if a lot of our young players really have a good understanding of what transition is and transitional moments in the game and when they happen and when they occur and what you do right when you lose the ball or also right when you regain the ball. So I think those are really important, and I think the game is growing, so we have to make sure our youth really have a good understanding of that aspect of the game.
And if any kids don't listen, you just hold the World Cup trophy next to you. Like, are you serious?
I mean, like, do you know someone better to listen to?
Like, who are you? Who are you?
If I Google me in World Cup, you know what comes up? A picture of me holding up the World Cup trophy. If we Google you in World Cup, what comes up? Nothing. You ain't even got social media. At what age can you yell at these kids? That's what I want to know. What age is it appropriate for you to be like, you never had it. You ain't got it.
That's why you're here.
Yeah, you're living a lie, man.
Oh, but the best part
Get
about
back here
the
and
kids.
Hold a clipboard, kid.
But the best part about the kids is that I do like a leadership session in the end, so that might not be good for me to yell at the kid. And then I gotta
before,
go build them up.
Then
I gotta go build them up in the end. No, but then I'm more accessible because we do like a question and answer, and then we do photos and autographs and things like that. And I also talk to the parents, which is so important because you gotta keep the kids coming back. So the parents are also a key component in my camps as well.
How much is it, and be honest, how much is it? What percentage of the kids are really just there to meet you? And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'll do all the training stuff you want me to do.
Most of them
can
do
I hang
stare
out
when I'm walking around. So okay, that's okay. When I'm like, okay, they're here to see me and meet me and you know, learn something.
This is one thing I love about your there's social media, your Instagram. Right. There's like these pictures of you with like these glee-filled children.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just nothing in our lives that we have. My nephew sees me. He's like, oh, yeah. There's just no one. There's no child.
Are you doing comedy? When do you plan on getting a job, Uncle? Yeah.
You know what? He did ask me that. I went to the house at like
He's like, you do have a job.
He's like, how come you're here? No one else is here. Don't you have a job? And I'm like, I work at night. Yes, it's for drink tickets, but whatever. So, follow your dreams.
So, Ali, you play for the Orlando Pride.
Yeah.
And one of our favorite human beings also plays on your team, Sydney LaRue Dwyer.
Yes. Yes. She's one of my best friends.
And she is, I know she's having a baby girl.
Yes.
Right? So, but they're the Dwyer family and the social media presence that they hold, it's almost like you can have a football academy,
yeah.
But when a social media academy could be run by the Dwyers,
yeah, yeah.
Right? I mean, they're crushing it.
I would offer a contract to them to run.
Yes.
But I do actually have a really, really great social media president.
I don't know what to call her.
Okay.
That everything runs through her, and she does a great job. But yes, they are crushing social media. And Sydney could have her own show.
Clap back 101.
Right.
Because if somebody says anything
Orlando what do I say to this person who's like trying to bully me?
Yeah,
like, I'm about to go off. And
she sees like a negative tweet. She starts taking off the earring. She's like, all right, we about to get
in. She rolls up her sleeves. Yeah. She's like, okay.
Yeah. Okay,
like,
we about to get in this. I will not ignore it. I don't care if that's the advice. Yeah.
Right. It doesn't matter what position you hold. If you're like a fan, a supporter, or you're like an owner of a team, she's like, I'll clap back. And
you
like,
guys seem to get along
place.
So well
we do. We get along great. You know, both on and off the field. I think that's what really helps the team be successful.
Yeah.
So that's important.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Northern Virginia, so about 30 miles south of D.C.
Okay. So Orlando's
new.
Kind of a cool, different, right? They got a lake, you know?
A few.
Do they? I'm not going anywhere near water.
Over 130 or something.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a fun place to...
I should know that.
Yeah. It's a fun place to live, though, because...
It's great.
Especially if you're playing in the NWSL for Orlando Pride. They do great.
You can't
complain. They get
great
crowds out.
Yeah. It's a really good soccer city. It's a beautiful town. All the people have been so incredible. We're one of the only sports there, including Orlando Magic, and then we have a second league men's hockey team.
Okay.
And then us. And so I think we're one of the highlights of the city.
For sure.
So it's really great to see everyone come out and
support
us.
Should be on the tourism board. Come to Orlando.
We really should. You know, I'm going
to
talk
to Allie,
our owner about that.
Not bad. How does it feel being on a team that has such great support? Because NWSL, or women's soccer traditionally, has been up and down. It seems like we're on such a great rise up right now. How does it feel to walk away from World Cup but walk into crowds that are just as passionate?
I mean, it's been amazing. I think, you know, it's better when you're connected with, you know, maybe a bigger club and that has also a men's team because you all have that automatic support.
Right.
I think, you know, some women's teams, not that they don't have the same support, it's been incredible, but we have that kind of model already set up. So I think it really helps that, you know, the men's fans are the same as ours. And I think vice versa. So I think we have that. And the club is, you know, they don't treat us as a charity and they treat us as a great business and they want us to bring a legacy here to Orlando. So I think that's really great. And having the support of the club and the back of the club really helps us do what we love to do, which is just
that's
to play
dope.
Well and win games.
Yeah. How far do you think we are away from having academies for the women's sport?
We have an academy in Orlando. I think each one of the women's NWSL teams should have an academy. I think that's really important to kind of, you know, replicate what the men do, you know, especially in Europe, how they have, and they do have more women's academies or, you know, girls academies over there, which helps them, like, you know, progress to the first team. I think it's really important where you can develop players the way that you envision the first team playing. That can be implemented when they're really young.
Yeah.
So that
just
would be really great to
see. Just imagine you're doing something out on the field and you hear Ali Krieger in the back. You're doing it wrong. I'd be like, okay, you come over here and please tell me.
Right.
Yeah, well, see, I feel like you,
then
you,
I'd go
you
and
know.
Then I be yelling at them again and say, listen up, like, take a seat. Like,
academy.
You know who I am? Yeah.
Do you know who I am? That's how I'd walk out. Like, no. Get off the field, sir.
Like, your name tag doesn't
doesn't even say your name. He just says, "Do you know who I am?"
Yeah, it's just a photo of you. I mean, how do you not know?
Like, I'm giving you so many hints already.
You see me swatting away fans.
I'm wearing my bun. I don't.
What do you think that you're most known for when you play soccer? Because you're such an obvious leader on the field. But what for you personally?
Yeah.
Because we see one thing. What do you think you're known for?
I think my defending. I think my presence on the field. I guess, yeah, being really strong in the back, really fast.
You're trying to be mad humble right now.
No, I just think I do have good leadership in the back, and like just a presence of kind of keeping the back line organized and in the right positions in order to prevent a lot of goals. So I think that way, just leading the team and really trying to lead by example. Because if I'm doing my job, then and other people see that, then that might encourage them to do the same.
And now, I mean, you're clearly a veteran of women's soccer, a veteran of the U.S. Women's National Team.
Uh-huh.
What's the thing that you're most surprised by, especially from the first time you broke into the team, and now, you know, the young guns are coming up to you and like, hey, I need help in this in this way, and what's been the thing that's been most surprising? Where like, oh wow, I didn't know I was gonna end up being this person, or who's gonna like advise or counsel the younger players.
Yeah, a lot of our rookies, I feel like, you know, I try to reach out to them as much as I can because I know that's what I wanted when I was their age, and I think that is really important to make sure that you build confidence in them, and not just because they're the new players on the team, but because you need them to be good or just as good as you out there, and they need to know right away that they're wanted and they're needed, and this is what we're looking for. I really love to take that role on because I want to encourage them because I knew how I felt or I know how I felt at that time, and I think it's important to make sure everyone's on the same page, and if you have everyone on the same page, they know, understand the plan and the structure, then you're going to be successful. So if you have them kind of, you know, a little outliers here, then it's not going to help the group and create a positive environment. So we have to make sure that we grab everybody in, and you know, that's part of my job and responsibility as a veteran player.
But how annoying is it to cover Tobin Heath? I mean, I mean, she must be. You got to tell her like, hey, we're training. Relax.
Hey, take it down a notch. Yeah, people watch.
She's one of my favorite players, and not my favorite player. I think she's been incredible. So I'm like, you know what, you do your thing.
Yeah.
Especially just in the past, I just, you know, would give her the ball and watch her just be phenomenal. And then I'll be like, you know what? You did so well that, like, and you're just the shit that I'm going to just go ahead and defend for you. Like, you can chill. All and right. Then next time I get you the ball, like, just, you know, just make shit happen.
A little bit. Yeah.
So I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it.
If you were a forward, you know, every defender has that in their head.
Yeah.
How many goals do you think you score in a year?
Like, so many. Like, countless. I would surpass Abby's, like, record for sure.
For
like,
sure.
Like, 100. Like,
every
no question.
Defender has that in their head. Like, it's like, just because I want to do this. I could be doing that. You ever see, like, one of the young guns come up?
Yeah.
You know, that they're like, play your position, and you think to yourself, like, you walk by the coach and be like, Snow Alley. I'll just tell you that. You know, you see that out there?
I should say that now.
Just
I
a little whisper. You don't have to like say it to them. Plant the seed. You know what I mean?
Just be like, I don't know if she's really.
Would you write on the board? Because I didn't see anything good over there. I
mean, like, are you sure about her?
Is there a suggestion box anywhere?
Right. Like, is there a feedback email I can.
You let me know if you need me to help her. I mean, we got to start from the bottom. You know, it's going to be a lot. Yeah.
Like, I'm here. Like.
Or you could give them a card to the you need this.
We can do a specific defensive camp. Like you're first in line. So I'll
help.
Let you come for free.
Yeah, you should get a free one. The first one's free. You need it.
Ali, I know we don't have a lot of time with you.
That's okay.
But thank you so much for stopping by.
I could stay
by.
All day and just hang out. We could people watch.
A lot of people are coming by to take pictures of us. They don't even know you're here.
They
this is exciting.
Yeah.
A lot of young girls that love soccer are taking pictures of me. It's very weird.
Yeah, well, we were talking to the president of the NWSL Players Union, Yao Averbush.
Awesome, we're pretty close friends.
And we asked her this question that we have a lot of fathers with young daughters who listen to the show.
Yes.
And they say like, hey, I want to know more from a comedian. We're comedians. They want to know more about from the comedic angle of what is going on in the women's game. The problem that we have is that that mm-hmm. is not the thing that's publicized so often. Right. So it's harder to find those like funny, humorous stories. So I'll ask you the same question that I asked her.
Okay.
I'm like, what would you suggest for two guys, like two comedians looking for humorous things? Like, where should we look in the women's game for things that we can talk about on the show, things that are funny, things that are humorous, maybe people we should talk to, your hilarious players that you think would be great on this program?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many people like Megan Rapinoe, Sydney LaRue. Gosh, who else? Who else is really funny? Those are like my two.
Sure.
Heather O'Reilly. She's so funny.
Yeah, Heather O'Reilly is hilarious.
I mean, honestly, like, I think those are some key people to go to. I don't really know on any other teams. But just from playing with them
in general,
more often than
because we make fun of MLS. There's always like stories, things like dumb things happen. You know,
there's a lot of dumb things that happen, but like
a lot of silliness.
I'm not really like up to date with social media every day. I don't like consistently go on.
Yeah, we need we need the gossip.
Yeah, we need. So who's spilling the tea? That's what I'm.
I mean, it's funny because I wish we could spill the tea on so many things, but we have to stay professional,
of course. That's why
you probably don't see it as much as on the men's side.
Well, this is where we come in. Back on professionalism.
Do you think there's more pressure on women's soccer players to be more discreet because they don't want to make the sport look bad in general? It's almost like they don't want. They don't want to look bad.
Maybe so, because a lot of our money comes from how we represent ourselves and how we make ourselves look and to our club teams and also in social media and to our fans. Like, it's important, and sponsors as well,
because
that's where our money's coming from. It's not all coming from a club, and if I'm making a ton of money, like I honestly could care less about more.
It's
so
tough because you have to be a great soccer player, which you are, but then you also have to be an influencer.
Like, I'm more focused on like, okay, I can't say that. That's going to, a little 15-year-old girl is going to see that.
Yeah.
So,
it's tough when you retire, though.
I'm going to be.
You
got to
come on the spot and let it all. Start writing this stuff down now. Get like a little
grievance journal. And I'll come to you guys first and be like, look, this is what happened. How do I deal with that? Like, let's talk about it.
A little grievance journal. Okay,
right?
We start flipping. We're going to go page by page. We're going to get it all out.
I wish I could spill some tea, but I can't.
No one's asking you to.
Yeah.
But we do love everything you're doing online. We love the way you play sport. We love what you've done for America. And all these people that are out here saying America's never going to win a World Cup. Homie, we did.
Been there, done that. Like, moving on. Thank you, next.
So the Women's World Cup coming up this summer.
Yeah, it'll be awesome.
In France. How are you feeling about it? What are you looking forward to in this? I know it's obviously to bring back the chip.
Which we're gonna.
But
we are. I think we really are.
Another parade in New York.
Yeah, I really, obviously I'm always ready if she needs me again. And I'm still, hoping that door's cracked a little bit.
Of course.
But anyway, I have full confidence in our team and the young players. They've been crushing it. Our attack is one of the best that I've ever seen. And I think that we're going to score a lot of goals. We're going to create a lot of chances. So as long as we can put it in the back of the net, we have probably one of the easier groups that we've ever had. So I think that'll be a good motivation for us to kind of just go out there and already have that confidence and motivation. So I think we're going to be great.
Is there anyone in particular that you think will be a standout? I mean, Carly Lloyd in the last World Cup was unreal.
Yeah, that Hatfield shot.
I know, right? And I was more tired from chasing her around celebrating than I was like in that play. And I'm like,
before you answer that question, what was that? What was that experience like? Just watching that
when
go in.
When you saw the ball in the air, were you just like, "Why are we flexing?" Yo, this is disrespectful to that nation. China, right?
Like, Japan.
And they're like the sweetest culture in the world. Like, this is like too much. Like, we can't be doing this out here. No, but we were like, "Let's get another one." It was amazing. It was incredible, and in every sense of the word, and the atmosphere was great. And when she hit that, I was like, "No, wait, what's going on? What's wrong with you?" No, but I think we're going to be great, and I really think we have to take one game at a time. That's the most important. We can't like look to the semifinals already or the finals. Like, you really have to focus in those tournaments on just the game.
And who do you think might be the standout this time?
Yeah, so I was going to say Megan Rapinoe for sure. She's had such a great year. Our 2 years
in Seattle, and
she's just looking incredible right now. Lindsay Horan, I think, has done well. Alex has scored a lot of goals this past year, so I hope she continues to do that. As long as they set her up in spots, she'll get there and she'll make it happen.
Yeah, she got a nose for goal, that girl.
Yeah. Okay. And I think, yeah, I've just been really excited to see them play because they're a really attacking team now, and it's exciting.
All right. Well, if Coach makes the mistake of not calling you in,
yeah,
you have an open invitation.
Huge mistake.
But you can be the Women's World Cup. Yeah, I'm sure you're going to be busy on TV.
Yeah.
But maybe you could do a couple call-ins for us or something.
I would love to. Yeah. We could set that up. That would be the Vino situation
in France. Maybe we could cover that.
We can, like, have a glass of wine. Yeah, yeah. Have some croissants.
Are you kidding me?
And, like, talk
about
it. You
boys going to get some puff pastries, okay? We're going to be doing it big.
Like Nutella filled croissants.
Done.
Like,
a little Beaujolais. You know what I mean?
Pinkies little Pinot Noir. Yeah. Like, hell yeah. We'll be bougie up in here.
Of course. Done. Consider it done.
Bad and bougie. Ali Krieger, thank you so much for joining us on the Cooligans. It's an absolute honor.
My favorite day ever on Cooligans.
Who's
paying me? I'm a podcast comedian. I wish someone would pay me.
Okay.
Do you need anyone to run the camp?
Well, no shit. Of course, this is probably the best time you've had. This really is. Do you know who I am?
Look at my name tag. Yes. That's called the callback in the business. Only
we're going to get those next time.
Absolutely. Ali Krieger, please mention again
the camp. Your website.
Oh my gosh, yes. Go to alikrieger.com and you can find /AKFC and you can find us there. Please register for camps. I can't wait to see you all around the country. And thanks for having me, you guys. You guys are awesome.
You are absolutely hilarious. Thank you so much. This is great.
Put her on TV more, people. Yes. What's wrong with you?
Figure it out. What are you doing?
Crushing it every day.
Thank you so much, Ali.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, what? God. I mean, Ali Krieger, please become the third Cooligan already.
That's right. I mean, that is your future, Ali Krieger. We have decided. Ali, thank you again, Ali Krieger, being on the show. I mean, she's just repping America, repping the women's national team, NWSL, repping Orlando Pride. Thank you so much for being on the show. That was just incredible for us. And again, I don't think we've ever laughed that hard with a guest. I mean, she genuinely was making us laugh. I hope you were entertained by Ali Krieger, you know, making us laugh or, you know, interviewing us basically.
Yeah. And, you know, there were so many fans of Ali Krieger's that, and just women's soccer in general, that were so like sort of excited about this interview. And what I hope is when you listen to that, you got to see a part of her personality that you don't always get to see of her in interviews. You know, like a lot of, and we talk about this a lot with soccer players in general, a lot of soccer player interviews are dull, not because the soccer players are, but because the questions that are asked of them are always the same, or they're just tactical, or they're very sort of media easy. And for Ali to come in and just knock it out of the park, just crush it the way she did with two guys who gave her really no opportunity to prep and were just like, hey, we're going to be dummies. So I hope you're cool with that. We're going to try to make you laugh. I mean, that really is one of the best interviews we've ever done. Not because of what we did, but because of the person we were interviewing was so amazing.
Yeah. So thank you again, Ali Krieger. Make sure follow her if you don't already on everything. At Ali Krieger on everything. She's great. And who knows? We're hoping she can get to those 100 caps. Maybe she'll be at the World Cup. Who knows? You know, that's what we're rooting for her. So hopefully that Cooligans push is all she needed to get back on Jill Ellis's good side. So
hopefully the next time she's in New York, she makes it a point to stop by our studio. She has an open door invitation whenever you want to be on Cooligans. Ali, you're in.
Exactly. And not many get that honor. Okay, so keep that in mind.
Only three people have that, and two of them make pizza for a living. So you know how important this is.
Okay, it's quite an honor. Right? I think we're going to have to put Ali Krieger's picture in the studio, like, you know, pizzerias do, you know, when celebrities come by.
Oh, we should 100% have that.
It's a black and white photo of Ali Krieger, just autographed. That would be dope. Before we wrap up the show, we did want to point out and someone who was very close to the FC Dallas family, and we were just there a couple months ago, and we didn't get to not that we got to meet him or anything, but he is
well. He was already off the team because he was still trying to battle cancer, and of course we're talking about Clavijo.
Fernando. Clavijo.
Played for the men's national team. You know, Uruguayan born, you know, but played for the men's national team, came here, and he was from that era that, you know, sort of brought soccer with them and was like, well, let me see if I could bang it out in the U.S., you know what I mean? And helped, really helped develop the sport here. And not only that, he was the guy that sort of convinced FC Dallas to start playing their kids and start allowing the youth players to practice with the senior team. That was all his direction. That was all his doing. And we talked about it a little bit when we were at FC Dallas, but I mean, that's the guy you sort of, he, not only did he help propel U.S. soccer forward as a player, but later on he continued to help sort of develop the skill and the talent here in the U.S. And that is something that is honorable. And unfortunately he lost his battle with cancer a few days ago, but we got a message from Ignacio Rodriguez Argote. At Argote Rodriguez, he said, big fan, love the spin you guys have put on the game and the league. I hope it's not too far, but I wanted to make a request. As you're aware, one of the greats have passed away. Clavijo was a great man whom touched so many people in the game. A true gentleman off the field and an amazing contributor to our Hispanic/American soccer culture, which we brought up. That is super important for us just because you know, that's something that sort of gets washed away sometimes when someone plays for the men's national team, sort of what their background is. But for him, it was important to propel all of that forward. He also went on to say, Ignacio went on to say, please find the time next podcast to honor him. He deserves that and so much more. Absolutely. He said he always made time for the staff, taught a nerdy PR guy how to scout games, never said no to any requests, TV, radio, or fans. Always paid for indoor fields when they had their weekly staff games. Helped Haitian players flee danger and brought them to the States, and even allowed them to stay in his own house when he ran the Haitian national team. He used to scout Copa Latina in Miami. He was a great man. Although I only worked for him for 2 years, he touched my life and honestly made me a better person. RIP legend. And the reason we read that is because we couldn't have said it better ourselves. This man worked with Clavijo and he got to see it firsthand how amazing Fernando Clavijo was. RIP. And just thank you for everything you did.
Yeah, I a lot of times, you know, for people, you know, especially with American soccer, you know, because that wasn't like the first thing I was watching when I started watching the game. So you don't really know how the sport got to where it currently is. And one of my favorite parts about doing this show is that we also get to like learn these things and learning about. You know, when seeing everyone's responses, like, you know, I remember I saw a tweet from Kellen Acosta that, you know, that was like, you know, thank you so much for giving me my first chance to actually play professional soccer. You know, Clavijo was the technical director at FC Dallas. So you start seeing how much influence people have, especially in soccer, how much influence they have in people's life. You know, we talked about Siggy Schmidt and seeing the response of all these people that were like, thank you for giving me my first opportunity. And then hearing about Clavijo and reading more about him, it starts making me think about the influence. Like, American soccer didn't get to where it is just with a bunch of, you know, American-born people being like, let's move this game forward. It took a lot of outside support and outside help from you know, immigrants coming into this country, helping influence how the game is played, how the game is coached, how the game is taught, taught to others. So when we talk about like the history of American soccer, the Hispanic person has a big influence on that, you know, and it's something that we shouldn't lose sight of, and it's something that shouldn't be forgotten, and hearing stories about Clavijo, it makes me feel like, you know, just as a Latino in general, I'm like, you know what? We've had a lot of influence on a lot of different things across American culture, and it makes me a bit more just prouder to be Latino, but to hear more about it, because again, it's like the history of certain things can be a little, you know. It could be missed. There can be like an oversight. What the Latin American person had on the influence of soccer, and Clavijo is a very good example of that.
Yeah, and he made the sport better. And maybe he didn't have as great effect as he wanted, but that was his goal with everything he did, and that just shows through his life's work. You know, the guy was also like a tennis champion, like, you know, clearly a great athlete. But this is like, I think one of the most important things is he found a way to continue to help when he didn't have, when he was too old, you know what I mean? And he didn't have the skill to go out there and do it himself. And I think that that's something that's clearly a calling for a lot of soccer players, is if they didn't grow up in this era, they grew up in an era where, you know, not everyone cared and they didn't get the chance to make all the money that's being made now and all the money that will be made in the future. So, but they continue to be a part of the game and find ways to help. And yeah, being a Latino and seeing, you know, a Latin American dude, a South American dude, just go out of their way to try to make the sport better here in their new home is, to me, one of the most inspiring things. And it shows that, yeah, look, Christian and I don't have the skill to go play soccer professionally, you know, or the want, really, if you ask me, it was never really a goal of mine.
I mean, if I get called up to the Dominican national team,
ya tú sabes, you know, shit, I might go out there too. You know what I mean? It's a 2-for-1 deal, DR, you know, but what we do is we're literally, and this is something that, you know, a Rebel fan said to me recently, like, hey man, when I first met you, kind of thought you were a bit of a dick just because you're an NYCFC fan. And, you know, you've made jokes about Rebel in the past, but hearing your show and hearing you guys talk, it's clear that you really want the sport to grow. Christian and I are trying to help. This is our way of helping. And it's so great to look back and find inspiration in what other people did and look at and find people to look up to, like a Fernando Clavijo. That's someone that people should be looking up to. And I hope they rename the training, the Development Academy at FC Dallas or something in his honor, because he absolutely deserves it. So rest in peace. You will be missed. Thank you for everything you did.
And even in almost like a eulogy, Alexis finds a way to make somebody else feel bad about not doing something.
What happened?
I like it, Alexis.
Well, who do I make feel bad?
You just said FC Dallas should rename the training grounds after Clavijo, and it's not even necessary, but a very sweet gesture.
I said I hope they do, and they better. I mean, I think I made it pretty clear.
Unbelievable. But again, thank you for the message, and I'm glad, we had the opportunity to talk about it, and yeah, we've seen it as well, and a lot of people have been tweeting about Clavijo and his influence, and I'm just glad we got to just shed some light on it.
Yeah, and if you want to know more about Fernando Clavijo, just look up Tab Ramos's tweets. He put out a really nice tweet.
Okay, cool.
Fellow right. Uruguayan American.
That is it. That is the end of the show, everybody. So that's it. I am going to rest up in Colorado because I am exhausted after snowboarding so much. And these mountains are tremendous and exhausting, but it's the best ever. I love snowboarding oh so much.
Glad you're having a good time.
So that's it.
Glad you're having a good time out there. I will have a slice of pizza in your honor.
Okay. Pour, you know, let a slice of a little piece of cheese drop on the ground, pour out some cheese for the homies,
pour out a little pepperoni grease for all our homies. But this is a fun episode. Thanks again to Ali Krieger, and also thanks again to all the Gully Squad members. You being a member of Gully Squad helps us get these interviews and helped us get out to to Chicago and have the opportunity to speak to her and everyone else that we interview that you're going to see. You hear those interviews soon.
It goes a very, very long way. So, as soon as I get back from Colorado, stay tuned for all those, those exclusive videos that is going, for the Gully Squad members, of some of the live shows. I'm going to be putting up clips. Things like that. So if you want to see those things, that will be only for the Gully Squad members. So like the interviews that we did with Alexi Lalas in Atlanta for the All-Star game, with Max Brados, some of the shows we did.
Tony Meola.
Meola. So all these things that happened at the live shows, this will only be for the Gully Squad members. So go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad if you'd like to join and support the show. It'll be going for a good cause. So thank you again for listening. You guys are the absolute best. We love you. We miss you. And thank you again for listening. Always means the world. So with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!